Good evening.
Good evening.
I do want to thank everybody. I want to thank this church. Since I was a young kid, I've been coming here and I've learned a lot from a lot of you. I really thank God for where He's put me, a church that believes strongly in spreading the gospel, and in a family that He put me in. You know, I've really been blessed. I want to thank the Lord for that. I want to thank you for all that you've done for us. Ever since I went out as a missionary, y'all have supported me. Y'all have prayed for me. Y'all prayed for me for specific things such as a wife, and the Lord supplied. And I thank the church because I know that y'all's prayers really are what helps us out and gets us through a lot of things in life. And I want to thank my wife. I want to thank y'all for this week, everything y'all do for us, the effort y'all put, the time, and the women that come and cook, and just everything that goes into it. It's a lot of work, and I really thank y'all for it. And I want to thank Adi for being with me and sticking with me and encouraging woman that she is to me. Amen. Open your books, your Bibles, to the book of Psalms. I'm going to read Psalm 126. Verses 5 and 6. Tonight, I want to tell you all about my experience. My years of experience that I have, I'm going to share with all of y'all. We might not be here long, but... No, you know, being a missionary kid is not the same as being a missionary. And that's what I've figured out. Not everything you know in theory is the same as when you know it by experience. And that's what I'm learning. This verse really is one of the things that I'm this past year at least I've been dealing with, or I've been hit with, and I've learned, and I want to talk to you about it tonight. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, he says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And you know, this is a verse that is well known. I mean, especially in a mission conference and with a mission-minded church, we know this verse. Actually, I was told I had to memorize this verse when I was here. And I memorized it, and I knew it, and I know it. And I knew it back then, but somehow just knowing it, you know, I didn't really understand it, or I had never really experienced it. And now I'm finding out, you know, this verse, and I'm really clinging to it. I didn't know, you know, why was this verse so important to learn and memorize? Well, it is important. He says, "Sow in tears. He that goeth forth and weepeth." I think that's an interesting way to put it, you know. And I want to speak of the aspect of this of the ministry, this aspect tonight. And I want to make it clear, it's the whole ministry isn't just about this. I mean, there are good times in the ministry, and the ministry is full of joy. And it really is. There's a lot of good things and joyful things about the ministry. And I could even say that most of the ministers here would tell you they couldn't find joy in doing anything else with their lives. They know that what's important is the gospel, and that's what they want to do with their lives, and they wouldn't find joy elsewhere. And there's a lot of joy in the ministry. But you know, as a young man, you can get all hyped up in all this joy. And like we've mentioned, you know, you can see all the pictures of all the happy people smiling and getting baptized and preaching and with a smile on their face. And you can think, this is just a great thing and everybody's all happy and it's a walk in the park, you know. But if that's what you're thinking, you know, you're in for a big surprise. Because it's not all about that. And in the ministry, there's a lot of heartaches. It's a heart-aching ministry. It's hard. And it's discouraging. And I think, you know, we can say that. I don't want to be a downer, but I think we can say that the ministry is discouraging. You can get discouraged. And I think that's what this verse is about. He's telling you, you know, yes, there's discouragement, there's hard things, there's weeping, and there's tears. And then he tries to encourage you by what he says next. But I think that there are some discouraging things, and I don't want us to just go in blindly in this, or I just want to tell you what's going on with me this past year, at least. You cannot avoid this part of the ministry. The difficult part of it, the weeping part of it, the heartaches that it comes with, because it is a part of your ministry. We are working with people, and people are hard to work with, and they break your heart. So you can't avoid this, and I want to point out a couple of parts of the ministry that involve weeping. First of all, you know, in the ministry, we're, as he talks about a sower, we look at the ground, and there's a lot of difficulty in the ground. You know, I think we relate this verse to sowing to spreading the gospel very easily, because Jesus says, you know, he talks about a man who went and spread the seed, and he talks about the seed being the word of God. You know, and this is what we're doing. We are spreading the word of God. And we're spreading it to those hearts of the people that are there. And you look at the ground, and sometimes that is hard, and it causes weeping. You can go around and preach your heart out, and nobody wants to talk to you. Nobody's interested. And that's hard. You know, that's discouraging. That's sad. You have to say, when people just do not want to, when you're preaching out on the street and your partner doesn't even want to listen to you because he's heard you so many times, I mean, that's kind of discouraging. It's hard when the people you're preaching to don't want to listen. You can get discouraged about that. And that's hard. And so we're weeping, you know, we're praying, God, please, Lord, let me have some talks. Let me talk to some people. Let some people be interested. Let some people actually, you know, give me some feedback. And then we find out that there's a lot of people that come up and openly reject you, reject the gospel. I mean, they just do not want to listen. And this is discouraging. It's not so much discouraging even for yourself, but it's sad for the people that are doing this, for the people that are rejecting you. I mean, you see these people and you see their need, and God is impressed upon your heart that they have a need and you want to help them out. I mean, we have compassion for these people. They're lost. And you preach to them and you teach them and you try to tell them, and they just openly reject you. Some ground is very hard. And that can get you down. Seeing people reject you. Some hard hearts out there. But then not only that, there's some mushy hearts out there. People that just accept everything they hear. I mean, you're talking to people and some people just don't want to listen to anything. Some other people, they're listening to you. Yeah, yeah, hear what I hear. Come here, listen to me. And yes, they're listening to everything you've got to say. And they're saying, yes. Yes, yes. But at the end of everything, you ask them and they didn't hear a word you were talking about. And they'll listen to anybody, and they'll accept anything, and they'll believe anything everybody says, but they really don't have any strength in them. They're just mushy ground. And that's sad, you know? I mean, you think about these people. I talk to them, and I think, that's just sad. Why are they believing everything? Some people, they're interested, they listen to the gospel, they hear what you're saying, they even take studies. And then it seems like somehow just all the interest just goes away. Maybe the seed was stolen, I don't know, but they're just not interested anymore. And it's sad. They were so close. You ever talk to somebody that was so close? I mean, you've been going to their house. You've been talking to them. You see it in their eyes. They are interested, and they are listening to you, and they want to get saved. And then, for some reason, they just lose interest. And you know, for a worker, and for men and women that are going out and spreading the gospel and wanting to see souls saved, that's hard. It's hard to deal with that. Then we pray, you know, Lord, please save some people. We can't stand, you know, just everybody rejecting, everybody getting close and not coming to believe. And you know, we want some people that really truly believe in you and get saved. And so then God gives us some of those. But then if you think that once you get people saved, you know, the weeping's over, you're in for another surprise. Because the weeping's not over. You get people saved and they believe in the Lord Jesus and they start coming to your meetings and they start making bad decisions. And you tell them and you're talking to them and you're counseling them and they don't want to listen. For some reason, they make their own decisions, their bad decisions, and you see them get hurt, and that hurts you. It's like having children. You know, you want the best for your children, and they make bad decisions, and it hurts you. I mean, we can say, you know, it's their decision, and we do. It's their decision, they decide. But we have to say that hurts. When they are making bad decisions, that hurts. And as ministers, that's what we go through that a lot. And like I said, I knew this. I've always heard it. Even my dad, since I was a young man, he, or a kid, I guess, to some of y'all, he told us. He told me, you know, if you're working with people, it's going to be hard. It's the hardest job there is. And I knew it. It's just, now that I've been going through it, you know, myself and seeing these people that I've been talking to and teaching, and they get saved, and you see some joy and excitement in them, and then you see them go and make these bad decisions. It's hard, you know. It's heartbreaking, and it's like, wow, you know what he's saying. He says, "You sow in tears." Man, that's true. He that goeth forth and weepeth. I mean, that sounds really sad. The job is hard. You see these people that have been saved, and you know, the Bible says that the devil, he's walking around and he's seeking whom he may devour. He's a roaring lion. And boy, we see this. People that are close to us. People that we've won to the Lord. And you see the devil just attacking them. And that's hard to see. That's hard to witness. Devouring. You know, people that are in Mexico that are wanting a job, that are wanting to work, and it just seems like the devil's just attacking them. And I don't know if it's just a trial of their faith. I don't know if it's the devil attacking them. But these people are getting hit right and left, and it's hard to see. It's heartbreaking. It's very sad. And you look at yourself and you know, you don't know what to do. I mean, you don't always have the answers. Sometimes it's just like, what do you tell somebody? You know? Sometimes you don't have the answers. And if you look at yourself, you can get discouraged again. Because if you look at yourself, you see insecurity. You don't know what to tell people. You don't even know what's going to happen. You can't see very far ahead. And you get discouraged. Because there's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, the sower that is sowing and he's giving out this seed, this precious seed that he has, and he doesn't know what's going to happen, and he's just hoping that there's going to be fruit. You can tell uncertainty brings some tears. And you can find yourself here in a discouraging place as you're doing your ministry. You know, you look up, you look to others, you look to see your fellow laborers, I guess, and sometimes, you know, it's like they're not there. You know, Jesus looks out and says, the laborers are few. And sometimes they're few, and sometimes those few are disappearing. And instead of increasing the number of laborers, we see a decreasing. And that's sad. That's hard to take. It's heartbreaking to see somebody that is really on fire for the Lord and he's waiting to do something for the Lord. And he just falls away. That's heartbreaking. You know, maybe the heat got to him. Like Demas, you know. Paul has to say, he's forsaken me. He's loved this present world. And we got people that are doing that. They're loving this present world. They haven't remembered. This is not our home. We're looking for something else, something greater, something beyond. But some of them remember, and they focus on this present world and they just fall away. And that's hard to go through. Some of them are just not here anymore. And not necessarily because of bad decisions or falling away into the world, but just because that's what happens. People get old and they pass away. And they're not going to be here anymore. And that's hard. That's hard to see. It's a difficult thing. And so, he that goeth forth and weepeth. The ministry isn't just always joy. And you can find yourself in a discouraging spot when you're looking at the ground, when you're looking at yourself, when you're looking for others. You know, you can just see a lot of things that can bring you down. But we, as Paul puts it, are not of those who draw back unto perdition. That should be our decision. We're not going to give up. We're not going to just throw in the towel. We need to get in us that no matter what's going on, no matter what other people are doing, no matter what things around us are, we're going to be faithful. Amen. And I think this verse is very needful for you to keep on doing. Because there are discouraging times and the ministry is full of tear jerkers and heartbreaks. And we need this verse. He says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Now this may be a side note, but I think it is very needed because I think this church, us as ministers preaching the word, cannot make this mistake, is that the seed that we are bearing is precious. That gospel message you have is a precious message. The Word of God is precious and it should not be changed.
Amen.
And boy, it's sad and it hurts and it makes you mad when you talk to people and you notice somebody's been changing this gospel.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
a month ago, we were preaching out in the street and it started to rain. And this man started listening to us from his window. And then I got done preaching and I walked over to him and I said, you know, hey, what'd you think of the message? What'd you think about that? And he said, oh yeah, it was great. It was great. I liked it. You know, he said, yeah, I'm an evangelical Christian. I said, well, great. You're an evangelical Christian. That's great. Praise the Lord. I said, are you saved? He said, ooh, well, I haven't been really doing too well, walking too great. I'm not really doing too many good things. And I said, well, are you saved? Are your sins forgiven? Are you going to heaven? And he said, well, I'm not sure. And so I find out he doesn't know anything about salvation. He has no idea what salvation is about. And I said, why are you calling yourself an evangelical Christian? He says, well, my dad's a pastor and I grew up in the church and I'm an evangelical Christian. I've been talking to him for a couple weeks and we've been going through and he knows some things, but he just didn't know anything about salvation. He didn't know anything about repentance. He's living in fornication. He had a wife. He left her. He came with this other woman. And he said, I didn't know that was wrong. I told him, you have to repent of that. That's wrong. And he said, I didn't know that was wrong. He says, my dad's doing the same thing. He separated from my mother, and he's living with another woman, and he's a pastor at their evangelical church. And I find this all the time. At least I've seen it a lot in Puebla. I talked to another lady downtown, and she's been going to a church for 2 years. She's great. She thinks she's just right with the Lord, and she talks about, you know, she's not serving idols anymore. It was great because the Lord told her not to serve idols, but I come to find out she's never repented of her sins. I asked her, are you saved? And she says, well, I don't kill anybody. I don't do these bad things. And that's what they think. And she's been going to an evangelical church for 2 years, but they never taught her about repentance. We have a precious seed. We have precious Word of God. The gospel has to be complete. And we cannot change it. We should not change it. And it's being changed. He goes forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Then he gives this second part, and this is the part we need. He says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's going to be some rejoicing for those who have sown with tears. We're going to have some rejoicing. And I know we talk about it sometimes and we sing about it in some songs, but it's true. You know, souls are worth a lot. Souls are worth a lot to God. Even one soul is worth a lot to God. And there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repented. Amen. And there's going to be some very, very joyful reaping for those who have sown in tears. The ministry is hard, and it can be discouraging. And we can, if we focus, if we see sometimes, if we look at things sometimes, we can start weeping, and it can be hard. But hey, remember this. He says, they are going to rejoice when they are reaping. They're going to rejoice when they bring their sheaves. They're going to rejoice in that day when they see all their fruit. There's going to be some rejoicing. And you know, I think this one word is what is so great about this. He says, shall doubtless come again. If he would have said, you know, you're weeping, you're sowing in tears, it's a hard work, but hopefully you'll get something out of it. I don't know, I mean, I think that would just, you know, discourage us even more. But he doesn't say that. He says, you are weeping, it's hard sometimes, and you're going through it, and you're sowing, and you just continue in it, He says, you shall doubtless come again. You shall doubtless, there is no doubt that if you've been sowing in tears, you will come again with rejoicing. You will reap with joy. Doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing His sheaves with Him. But you know, another thing you got to think about is, He says, he that goeth forth and weepeth shall doubtless come again. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who are rejoicing are those who are doing. If you're not a part of this ministry, if you're not a part of this work, if you're not part of spreading the gospel in whatever way it is, if you're not a part of it, then you may not be rejoicing when everybody's bringing their sheaves in. You know, you got to wonder what people are sowing, what people are doing, and we gotta remember that He says, "Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing." And so what are we sowing? A lot of people are not in this ministry. A lot of Christians just don't get in on it. Amen. They think, big deal. I want to live my life in joy. Why do I want to live my life in service and go through times of discouragement and weeping and having a burden for somebody else, when I can just live my life, live in a lot of fun and all my pleasures? But be not deceived. Amen. God is not mocked. Amen. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm going to turn to a verse in Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. My encouragement today, those of us who are doing and in the ministry, in the work, and we are sowing with tears, we are praying with tears for God to save people, and we are in the ministry, we gotta keep on, because we shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. And those who have not gotten in on it, let's think about this verse. Chapter 11, verse 9, he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." You want to live your life, you know, trouble-free and not be burdened with wanting to take the gospel to somebody else, not be burdened with praying for other people, not be burdened with this work. You want to live your life and live your youth and live in the pleasures of these things. He says, okay, go ahead. He says, but know this. Know this. All these things God will bring thee into judgment. God is going to bring us into judgment for what we sow. And if we're not in a part of this, then we're not going to be reaping with rejoicing. And if you're not, if you're living your life for different pleasures, you're living your life for your youthful lusts, and you're not thinking about getting into the ministry, because maybe it's discouraging sometimes. Maybe you just don't want to have a burden. You don't want to be in service to God. Then you got to think about this. God will bring all your works into judgment. So let's keep reaping. Let's keep sowing. Even though sometimes it can get hard, even though sometimes we can be discouraged by different things, He says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Let's not get discouraged. Let's keep doing the work, because there are some things that are doubtless, some things that are certain. Yeah. And that is that if you sow in tears, you shall reap in joy.
Amen.
Lord bless you.